the next few days, John, I've got to meet Mrs. Hazel. Or I warn you, I'm going to come to some very disagreeable conclusions and do some things you won't like.
Clearly, for reasons best known to himself, John wasn't anxious to have his wife meet the new influence in his life. But he didn't dare ignore Kay's warning. So today, the two women meet in Kay Fairchild's Stepmother, brought to you now by Colgate, the all-purpose tooth powder. Grandest way they ever found to get their teeth sparkling clean, dazzling with natural brilliance. That's what thousands of people are saying about Colgate, the all-purpose tooth powder. Yes, when the Colgate people developed this special formula for their tooth powder, a formula that gives you triple-action results, mind you, they certainly got something. And really, it's not surprising the Colgate tooth powder should give you such remarkable results, because into its making goes all the skill of the Colgate laboratory. And the Colgate people have been making top-quality products for over 100 years. Get some Colgate today, why don't you, and make the mirror test. Look at your teeth carefully in a bright light before and after brushing them with Colgate tooth powder. See how their natural brightness is revealed after a Colgate brushing. At the same time, notice how Colgate's double-rich foam refreshes your entire mouth, sweetens your breath, leaves you confident of being more kissable. And you can depend on it. Colgate tooth powder is safe, too. Safe for tooth enamel, safe for gum massage. It's gentle, contains no scratchy, harsh abrasives. So get some Colgate tooth powder today. Start, if you want to, with the 10-cent trial size. That's enough to show what the amazing triple action of Colgate tooth powder will do for every member of your family. From then on, I'm sure you'll always buy Colgate in the handy family-sized giant can. And now, Colgate tooth powder presents Kay Fairchild's Stepmother. When last we saw Kay, it was a little after 9 in the morning. And the postman had just brought her 2 letters. One was from Bud, saying that he was getting ready to come home from camp. And the other was from Bert Weston. What Bert wanted, Kay discovered, was her help in his troubles with Peg. Her help in convincing his wife that he had to keep his job at the mine and couldn't come back home. Without divulging that she'd received a letter from Bert, Kay proposed to her stepdaughter that the dispute be settled on the basis of compromise. But Peg's answer to that was that she is thinking of looking for another man. Later, coming back to Kay's own problems, we learned that this was the day for her first meeting with Mrs. Hayward. Well, it's 3 hours later now. The two women and John are to have lunch at the Ambassador Hotel. And Kay has just met her husband in the lobby. Listen.
Things are both a little early, Kay.
Mm-hmm.
There's my way right here in the lobby when Mrs. Hayward comes down. Shall we sit here?
All right, John.
Kay, this is going to be a very pleasant luncheon. Well, I mean, I hope your attitude towards Miss Hayworth is going to be friendly.
You rather amuse me. You and Mother Fairchild both. She was expressing the same concern before I left home. What do you expect me to do? Shake hands with the lady and then start pulling her hair?
No, of course not. Your attitude toward Miss Hayworth hasn't been very sympathetic. Been on the verge of quarreling about her several times. Tried to explain that no reason to be worried about her or be suspicious of her. In fact, I think you'll like her very much.
I'd like to believe it. Whether or not I can depends a good deal upon how Mrs. Hayworth impresses me.
Well, you're certainly frank about saying that you don't trust my judgment. But anyhow, let's try to make this lunch a nice, amiable affair. Unfortunately, I haven't a great deal of time today, so not getting any long-winded discussion. I mean, we'd better just stick to general topics of conversation and avoid going into things like, well, politics.
Well, that's asking quite a lot, isn't it? Expecting 3 people whose principal interest at present is politics To avoid politics as a subject for conversation.
Well, it's no good always to be talking shop. Now, you and Miss Hayworth will meet again sometime, and you can go into your respective theories of government then, if you care to. Oh, here she is.
Good afternoon, Don.
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Hayworth. Miss Hayworth, I'd like to present my wife.
How do you do, Mrs. Fairchild?
I'm very glad to meet you, Mrs. Hayworth. This is really a pleasure I've been looking forward to.
John's told me so much about you.
And I've been hearing a great deal about you. It's a pity we haven't had a chance to meet before.
Well, shall we go into the dining room? I have a table reserved.
I was saying to John just yesterday that politicians' wives...
Pardon me, Miss Hayworth, but have either of you seen those latest headlines? You know, this international situation gets more complicated every day. So I think nobody's paying enough attention. Clear. Now, here is Pearl Harbor, and over here, this point where I've drawn a circle, is Singapore. This is the Malay Peninsula, and over here are the Dutch East Indies. Well, the scale of this drawing isn't correct, of course, but you get the idea. All right. Now, suppose...
Really, John, if you draw one more battle fleet or one more island on that tablecloth, you'll have it ruined.
Well, the rest of the people are used to this. Laundries have some special process, I understand, for getting pencil marks out of tablecloths.
Well, just the same, I think you'd better call an armistice in that war and eat your desserts. You've been so busy maneuvering heavy cruisers all during the meal, you've hardly eaten a thing.
Well, I haven't been boring you, ladies, have I? Well, I'm sorry, but this Pacific problem is so fascinating to me.
Still, I think you should give over the burden of conversation to someone else for a while, John. Just to rest your throat.
Well, surely. I didn't realize I was talking so much.
Just to change the subject briefly, I'd like Mrs. Hayworth to tell me something about her summer home in the Poconos. Peg and I were so sorry we didn't get a chance to visit you up there.
Why, yes, I was quite upset about that myself.
Well, I explained to you, Kay, why it was we had to call the trip off. Other commitments that Mrs. Hayworth couldn't foresee.
Yes, I know. You didn't even get a chance to go up to the mountains yourself, did you, Mrs. Hayworth?
Well, of course, I spent several weeks there earlier in the summer.
From the second-hand reports we got through John, it must be a really beautiful place you have. I'm sure you'd rather spend all your time up there during the hot months. It's such a pity your political interests keep you tied down in Chicago and Walnut Grove.
Oh, I wouldn't exactly describe myself as tied down.
Would either of you ladies like more coffee? Not
for No more for me, thank you.
Better.
You see, the ties I have are all of my own choosing, Mrs. Fairchild. And that's not really being tied down at all, is it?
No, I suppose not. But since you have so much freedom... Since the whole world, so to speak, is your playground.
Oh, I'm sure you rather misunderstand me, Mrs. Fairchild. I'm a little beyond the playground age.
Well, that waiter is. Like to get the...
Perhaps the phrase was unfortunate, yes. Mrs. Hayworth. But since you do have such wide interests and wide acquaintance, I can't help marveling at how you came to be interested in our little town of Walnut Grove.
Gold is where you find it. If you're searching for genius, the trail may lead you to Pennsylvania Avenue or Timbuktu or Walnut Grove.
And I gather that at the end of the trail here, you think you found a gold nugget of a genius in my husband?
Oh, come now, ladies. The conversation's taking a slightly ridiculous turn, if you'll pardon my saying so. Well, I don't mean to rush anybody.
It's my opinion, Mrs. Fairchild, that your husband has very great potentialities. The only thing is, he must be given freedom to develop them.
And what do you mean by freedom?
Well, I insist that you two quit talking about me as though I weren't present.
By freedom, I mean that he must be allowed to devote himself wholeheartedly to his destiny. And all other considerations must take second place to that.
I see. Well, since John's destiny is to be the big thing, I'd like to hear a few more particulars about it. Just what sort of destiny is it, anyhow? Is it just a long, long trail winding up into the land of dreams, or is it something more definite? life goes. Becoming president of the United States, say.
Well, now, Mrs. Fairchild...
How do you conceive of your destiny, John?
Listen, Kay, I think you brought on a very silly discussion. I don't want any part of it. I don't think
the discussion is at all silly. I think it's vital. If my husband is starting out on some great adventure, I'd like to know the exact nature of it. Where do you think John is going, Mrs. Hayworth? And just how do you think he's going to get there?
I'll tell you, Mrs. Fairchild. I see your husband eventually reaching the highest circles in national politics, holding high office and perhaps wielding power far beyond the scope of his office.
In other words, you see him become a big political boss, head of a powerful political machine.
I certainly don't like the word machine.
Organization, if you like, same thing. And how is this power to be achieved?
The way it's always achieved, by cleverly winning the support of the mass of the people.
Cleverly winning their support. And what is clever? Good government, or just the semblance of good government cloaking selfish ambition?
I'm afraid you're not a realist, Mrs. Fairchild. And if I told you how I feel on that subject, you probably wouldn't understand.
You'll have to pardon me, but I think this has gone too far. Well, I mean, I must get back to work, and I know both of you ladies have other appointments, too. Now, I'll pay the check on the way
out. I think we've about covered the ground. Well, forgive me, Mrs. Hayworth, if I seem a trifle intense. But you can understand that John's future is a thing that concerns me deeply, and I just wanted to be reassured that he's on the right track.
And are you reassured? John and I have said very little about the ideas we share.
Oh, yes, you've said enough. I think that now I understand perfectly what you're aiming for and how you mean to achieve it. It's very clear to me, finally.
Well, it's nice to know that you understand.
Do you mean, Kay, that you're satisfied there's nothing wrong? Well, I mean that you're satisfied you know what we're trying to do?
I'm satisfied that I know.
Well, this little luncheon didn't turn out so bad after all. Well, I mean, we had a very pleasant little discussion, and all's well that ends well. Shall we go?
Yes, John. Let's go.
Yes, Kay is satisfied that she understands just what Mrs. Hayworth is up to. But it's not the kind of understanding John believes it to be. He seems to have gotten it into his head that from now on he will have no more trouble from Kay about Mrs. Hayworth. When, if we know Kay, nothing happened at that luncheon except that, at last, battle lines between her and this other woman have been clearly drawn. Ladies, why not fix this a day for your family to have a brand new experience in pleasant dental care? Sit out a family-sized can of Colgate tooth powder and watch and go for these sparkling results. First, bright, sparkling teeth, gleaming with natural luster. For Colgate tooth powder is exceptionally effective in getting rid of filth. Second, sweeter breath. Because Colgate's double-rich foam fairly dances through your mouth, like a refreshing, tingling, invigorating mouthwash. And third, Colgate tooth powder is safe for gum massage. Guaranteed safe and backed by the century-old reputation of the Colgate people for quality. So, you see, in Colgate, you get an all-purpose tooth powder that gives you not just one, but three delightful results for your money. So next time you're passing a drug counter, stop and ask for a family-sized giant can of Colgate tooth powder. Tomorrow, Bert Weston gets another shock, and he hits on what he thinks is a brilliant idea, but an idea that is loaded with the possibility of all kinds of future trouble between him and Peg. Be sure to listen tomorrow for Kay Fairchild's Stepmother, brought to you by Colgate, the all-purpose tooth powder. This is Carlton Cadell speaking.
Wouldn't it be convenient if a tiny bell heard only by you could ring in your ear when your feminine freshness cried out for a lift? But why wait for a danger signal? Take a minute out several times a day for a pickup with Cashmere Bouquet Talcum Powder. Like scented sawdust, this superfine talcum falls lightly on your skin, dries up lingering moisture, and imparts a satiny film that helps guard your skin against chafing. It leaves you cooler, fresher, more comfortable. And as a ravishing finale, Cashmere Bouquet Talcum invests your whole person with the fragrance men love. What a luxury. What a glamorous way to restore your freshness. And what a pleasant surprise to find that cashmere bouquet talcum costs so little. Even the 10-cent size gives you fragrant daintiness for many days. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.